there, everybody. It is June the 29th, 2011, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. And as always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com, strolling on over to thisshowissogay.com to link up to iTunes and check out other fun info about the show. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. Yet another jam-packed show, so we're going to kick things off. On October 26th, 2010, I made a promise. It was our 97th show, and I told our guest that evening that she would absolutely be invited back for our 126th show. And honoring that promise, I'm thrilled to welcome back to the show NPR's Netta Ulaby. Netta reports on arts, entertainment, and cultural trends for NPR's Art Desk. She hosts the award-winning Culturetopia podcast covering NPR's best art stories of the week. And she is the first female guest to appear on This Show Is So Gay for the third time. Netta Ulaby, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Hi, Ken. I also always keep my promises.
Look at that. And I should have said Vermont's own Netta Ulaby.
Well, part-time.
Well, don't say part-time.
I'm an aspirational Vermonter.
We're good to go. When I type this up later, it's going to say Vermont's own Netta Ulaby. And then you're going to get all these accolades that are very Vermont-specific. How the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm coming up to Vermont at the end of next month, and I can't wait.
Now, is the place all set up?
It is. We're running it out. Listeners, it's on VBRO. And it's fun. It's gorgeous. I mean, your state is the best.
Did you just use our syndicated radio show to advertise for renters?
Is that not ethical? Maybe. Can you just take that out?
I mean, that said, I'm totally going to look it up and maybe rent it. We'll see what happens. We'll see. So what's gay these days in arts and culture?
Everything.
Just
Come
everything.
On. You need to ask.
I don't know.
You know, you could ask that question right now about politics, mm-hmm. about like anything. It's all gay, right?
It's all gay right now. Well, can we talk? I want to talk about one story, that your most recent story, or the most recent story I have listened to of yours, about That's Racist. Mm-hmm. Because it's very much connected to, look, it's connected to my own work on researching that the phrase That's So Gay and how that's used and how it takes on a life of its own. How did that story come about?
Well, that story came about, it's so funny, my editor and I are talking about these kinds of things all the time, right? We're sort of interested in how language evolves and how people use insults and how things that used to be considered, not acceptable are now, or how things change. And with That's So Gay being one example, we did a piece last year about retarded, mm-hmm. about how people were using, we're using retarded, obviously they've been doing that as kind of an insult for a long time, but how there's been a movement to make retarded not acceptable, yeah. as an insult. And she had heard her son jokingly say, "That's racist." And when she started listening for it, she started hearing it everywhere. And I didn't really take it that seriously. I don't have kids. I'm not listening to what kids are saying. Mm-hmm. But like her, once I started listening for it, I found it everywhere. All you have to do, I learned to do a YouTube search for "That's Racist" or "That's a Racist," and there are like a billion examples of people using it ironically as a kind of diss. And they don't, and it's not even about race. So we just sort of decided to explore that and to see where that came from. And we discovered that it had started as a kind of meme that there had been this kid show, where people had taken this image from the show of this little African-American child, and they were dropping it into online discussions and saying, "That's so racist." Sometimes when things are racist, sometimes to actually call out racism, but other times just to sort of be provocative, mm-hmm. the way people occasionally are on online discussions.
Yeah.
And so we decided it was worthy of a discussion about how this had turned into a catchphrase rather than an identification of inappropriate behavior.
I want to talk about your medium a little bit, because this was a great example of this 4-minute piece was not enough for me.
Oh, well, and I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, well, and I'm happy to say it. There were all these bits in the piece just about how it can be used to quench or inflame. Kids are using it to establish themselves as not racist, to avoid discussions of race, and then the 4 minutes was over. And so when you set out to put together these packages, are you sitting there thinking, first, I would imagine you're told this is how long this can be?
Oh, you know, it's a protracted dance.
Yeah.
I mean, what we tend to do is to do the piece and see what length it ends up, and then we just, you know, shave away.
Mm-hmm.
And this one probably, when we first did it, was about a minute longer than what you ended up hearing on the air. And there were a couple of cuts that were painful. There always are. But, you know, it's always better to leave you wanting more.
Yeah, that's so interesting, though, because I figured when you said the first iteration of it, I would have assumed would have been 45 minutes long, but you already have it in your head. No, we have to boil this down to this package.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I probably, and you know, what you hear, the 4 minutes, I probably spent days and days on that 4 minutes, and I don't think about that too much, how much time I spend on what ends up being a 4 minute long piece.
I wanted that one to be longer.
Oh, well, thank you.
No problem. So if you could send me that extra minute, that'd be great. Just turn that on over. Now, let's talk a little bit more about arts and culture. And I love that, I think your bio, maybe I just didn't read this piece previously, but your bio now on the NPR website gives you a shout out how you are bringing more attention to TV, to
mm-hmm.
NPR,
mm-hmm,
than other
right.
people. I don't know if that's new, but I hadn't noticed that before.
That is new. You are a close reader. You must not be watching TV very much.
yeah. Well, speaking of, now, are you a 30 Rock watcher?
I am.
You are. Oh, this almost makes this ideal. So we didn't actually talk about this last week because we didn't have a lot of time. We ran out of time, and it's a 60-minute show. I don't know about this 4-minute little thing that you're doing. But so we didn't talk much about Tracy Morgan and his antics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, there is a difference. So I'm going to throw it all at you. To me, there's a difference, not a huge one, but someone like a Mel Gibson or someone who's saying something that's anti-Semitic or homophobic or whatever they're doing when they're pulled over by a police officer is, to me, categorically different than someone like Tracy Morgan, who, yes, he's off screen, but he's still on stage. It's still part of his role as an entertainer that he's spouting off all of these homophobic, horrible, horrible things. And if you're behind on that story, I'm not even going to go into it. Just
mm-hmm.
someone go catch up. Does it affect for you, as someone who looks critically at TV, how do we compartmentalize someone like Tracy Morgan? Some people are saying, boycott the show. No, but that's that. Then you're boycotting the writers, and that's not his character. That's him. And I don't know. How do we unpackage all of this?
How do we unpackage homophobia when it's articulated by a public figure?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't, honestly, you know, I don't think there's a blanket answer ever when it comes to people being ridiculously awful. You know,
mm-hmm.
I really don't. I mean, like, do we boycott, you know, all Mel Gibson movies? Do we boycott, you know, 30 Rock? It's sort of funny to, like, I actually don't really draw a huge distinction between Mel Gibson being homophobic when he's pulled over by the cops and Tracy Morgan being homophobic on a stage show.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference between a private and a public conversation, but these are both public figures.
Right.
You know, and for me, that's where it all sort of gets meshed together a little bit. You know, my instinct is not at all to boycott 30 Rock. My instinct is to see how 30 Rock is going to deal with this problem of Tracy Morgan not just dissing gay people in really violent, awful ways, but then, did you hear about the latest thing? Where
his show in New York?
Yeah, where he was like, he apologizes for that, and then he goes on to say horrible things about intellectually disabled people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, They've got a problem. They've got to deal with it. As a culture watcher, I'm really interested in seeing how they're going to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to boycott one of my favorite shows until I see how they're going to deal with it.
Do you know, I actually did. I started watching it a few years ago because this is not the first time he's done this. And so I actually did boycott it. And then I was sad because I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I didn't even know what point I was trying to prove. So I went back to watching
it. Well, I'll tell you, my mother has the perfect solution for these kinds of things.
Yay.
And this is what it is. She's like, write a letter and say you're boycotting it, and then don't.
There you go.
It'll make more of a difference.
We gotta call it. What's her first name?
My mother, Marianne.
That is the Marianne technique.
Exactly.
We're gonna call it that from now on. They're gonna think this is some Gilligan's Island thing, but it's not. I'm going to refer weekly to the Marianne technique.
That's what she does.
All right. I'll take it. Now, I know that you reviewed a few months back or announced its coming of Game of Thrones. Are you hooked on that
Love
one?
Love it. Love it. Could, are you watching it?
You know, I read the books.
Yeah, I've only read the first one.
I've read the books, and so, and my God, is that a commitment to read those books?
Oh, my
books.
God. Yes, it is.
Oh, I love when...
It's a game of time suck.
Yes, when it's both a weapon and reading for pleasure. It's really quite the experience. That show could be a little gayer.
You know, I know this is probably going to keep me from being the fourth female ever invited or the first female ever invited a fourth time onto the show, so gay. But honestly, I don't need everything to be gay all the time. Sometimes I like things not being gay. It's a big world. It's a big world. It's not all gay. It's okay.
For some reason, I would like that show to be a little gay.
And, you know, I haven't read the second two books or the... You know, and obviously the third one's coming out. But I'm really hoping the little girl ends up on our team.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't, does she?
I can't ruin it for you, but
okay.
No, she doesn't.
Well.
But you know, he's still writing the fifth one. Because let me tell you.
Right. You never know how things are going to turn out.
That is an NPR story if ever I heard one. The backlash on this poor guy. Well, I don't even know if I'm going to say poor guy, but he really needs to finish the series and stop partying with celebrities. What stories do you have coming up?
Well, I'm about to go to Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
Very, very far from Vermont, sadly.
Oh.
And I'm going to be doing a few stories out there that I'm looking forward to. One is about the new remake of Prime Suspect.
Yes.
And if you don't know Prime Suspect, this was a very, very popular BBC series that starred Helen Mirren as a tough alcoholic detective that was kind of the mother of all other female tough cop shows like The Closer and like Damages, mm-hmm. and The Killing. And so we've got that to thank for The Killing, which didn't turn out so well. And so I'm talking to the people who are doing the new American remake of that, and a lot of people love the original and, you know, are feeling a little mixed about the idea that it's going to be revamped for the United States. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
And I'm talking to Zooey Deschanel, who
yes.
also has a new TV show coming up. That should be fun. I'm a fan of her work.
Entertainment Weekly was cool. It was one of those shows that they're most excited for.
You know, the trailer was awful. I mean, I will just say that. The trailer was terrible. But it's not been unheard of for trailers to be bad and for the show to be good. We'll see how it goes.
I'm waiting for my new Sarah Michelle Gellar show.
I know. I can't wait.
I need my fix.
You know, yeah. I hear you.
I need my fix.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's very exciting. All right, so you'll go out to L.A. for a little bit.
Mm.
And then come back to Vermont.
To come straight to Vermont.
Okay.
That is the best thing.
That's got to be some culture shock.
Oh, man. But you know what? I have to tell you, my blood pressure slowly goes down as that plane goes across the country.
Oh. And then it's kind of, it gets here and it's not even detectable.
Right. I don't even have blood.
You have Robin's in D.C. saying, run, Tammy, run. And then she gets to Vermont. And she's thinking, well, maybe saunter, Tammy. Maybe you should saunter a little.
She's like, who?
Who? I don't even know who that is. Is there a gay congresswoman?
Exactly.
And to be clear, Robin is not bringing this work home with her, right? Except for the night that I got elected.
That is exactly right.
It's a big night.
Right. You know, the night you got elected... There was just absolute madness in the Brand household.
Oddly, they all gathered in Chicago in Millennial Park, which I thought was weird because it was a local Vermont election. But that's great. I'm all about it. So I have to ask you, and I always love your responses. Hey, Netta, where can folks go to learn more about all the cool things that you're doing?
Well, there's a website called NPR.org where my stories are. There's also a Twitter. There's Twitter. There's Facebook. There's all kinds of amazing places.
Wait, are you tweeting?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a lazy tweeter. Do you tweet?
I do not.
You should tweet.
I find it to be limiting.
I bet you'd be a great tweeter.
I don't think so.
I think you need to open your mind.
I think that it would be...
And limit your word count.
Wow. God, there are people who would kill for me to limit my word count. But I think that I would be the master of unfinished tweets.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Tweeting, I'm into tweeting. I'm okay. Actually... I'm more of a lurker and a user
nice.
Than a putting myself outer there kind of person, but I've really found tweeting to be fascinating.
I feel like I can't handle one more thing.
I know.
I feel like I'm good with Facebook. You know, oh, you should get on Tumblr. No.
Yeah.
I'm good right now. I think I'm at capacity for learning new things. So says the professor, which is probably not a good thing, but that's okay. Well, look how we kept our promise. You are on the 126th show.
Are we out of time?
We can talk more.
No, it's okay.
I love talking to you. I'm unabashed. You are one of my favorite people to have on the show.
Thank you.
What else should we know about? What else is going on out there? Because you always tell us about like shows and concerts and musical artists that are not on our radar.
Well, I'm working on a piece right now, as we speak, about the new wave of animated bands.
Mm.
And you know, if the last time you tuned in and you're familiarity is limited to Archies or the Archies or Josie and the Pussycats or even the Gorillas. Things have sort of taken a quantum leap since then. And there are all of these crazy bands, maybe a lot from Japan, that are touring as like 3D holograms. And this is what's kind of great. You know, it used to be either that the animation was really good and the music was really bad or vice versa.
Uh-huh.
Gorillas kind of changed that. Now the bar is just a lot higher. And so the piece that I'm working on right now is about this new wave of animated bands.
And they have concerts?
Yeah, some of them do. Not all of them.
Okay.
But there's this, you should check out this video made by this band called Studio Killers. And they have a song, which is actually, it's a very fun, it's a kind of a gayish club song called Ode to the Bouncer. And it's just this kind of self-deprecating song about going to nightclubs. And I think, you know, I've reached an age where that kind of stuff is very much in my past. But it sort of brings you back to being in your 20s and, like, skulking around outside of nightclubs and wanting to get in.
I'm totally going to cue that song up at the end of this.
You'll enjoy it.
Look at that. Do you have a plan? Is there an eventual plan for just settling in Vermont?
When we are aged, when we are old lesbians,
that's
we are
like
going to be
60 years away.
You know, exactly. We thought, you know, why come to Vermont when we're, like, young and hot?
Oh, well, okay, that just made me feel like, wait a second.
Vermont, the place where lesbians come to die.
Yes. I would not wait by the phone for the tourism board to call you for some input.
You don't think?
I would start a new project.
We're hoping to get, you know, we're going to spend as much time as we can there. When we can, we're going to totally set up shop in Vermont, but it's unfortunately not going to be anytime soon.
Because, again, as an elected official here in Vermont, on behalf of the southern part of the state...
and the Vermont Tourism Board.
We're going to come up with new slogans.
Okay, let me hear one.
Come to Vermont where the heifers stroll. I don't know. I gotta come up with more. Because you have to.
Ken, that is only a shade better than where lesbians come to die.
Yes. Well, you didn't set the bar very high on that one. So I felt like no matter what I said, it was fine. Could have been Green Mountains. It could have been single payer healthcare.
It could have been nuclear runoff.
Oh, yeah. We're totally fine. Vermont Yankee. It's not just
right.
a war. Yeah,
right.
No, we're good. It's not just for patriots anymore.
Right.
Yeah, because you've not yet been to Strolling of the Heifers, correct?
I haven't. I haven't. It sounds... I missed it. I missed it by like a... By a... What do you call a cow's nose? A snout? I missed it by a snout.
Okay. See, there are these moments where I feel like, oh, good, I'm not a total Vermonter because I don't know what a cow's nose is called. I only recently learned that Holstein is not just a building but a type of cow. So, and then this week is the 4th of July parade, which is 4 fire trucks and a drag queen.
So what's going to happen when I'm there? You know, I'm going to be in Brat at the end of July.
Okay.
Just for like a day. I'm going to be there like on the 28th of July.
Awesome.
What does Brett have to offer me?
What day of the week is that?
That's a Thursday.
That is a Thursday. Well, on a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
preparing to be wowed.
Wait, did you say it's July 28th?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, July 28th is indeed... Gosh, it's so funny that that's the day you're coming. It is indeed...
You're so stalling.
No,
you're like, well, the public library will be open.
No. It is a big coincidence that you're coming that day. It is indeed Netta Ulaby Appreciation Day. So that's fortuitous,
nicely
to say the
stalled,
least.
Ken. That nicely is stalled.
Fortuitous, to say the least. It's Netta Ulaby Day. It is also national... or local, and say wear an NPR t-shirt. Ooh, can we talk about NPR for a second?
I just want to know what's going to be strolling on the streets.
It's me and you. It's me and you. chanting "Run, Tammy, run." I'm telling you, it's the catchphrase of a generation.
All right, I'm not getting behind any politicians. That's my girlfriend's job. But yes, okay.
Well, then you can't stand behind me.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Wait, I wasn't even planning on talking about this. I went. So, you know, we're supposed to, Netta, you and I and all the other gays, because we lump in together and we all think the same. We're supposed to be boycotting, did you hear, Urban Outfitters?
Oh, I hadn't heard about this. I can't keep up.
I know.
I'm just going to have my mom write a letter.
That's as she sends you gifts from there. Marianne method. So we're supposed to be boycotting Urban Outfitters because they both steal from local artists, apparently, allegedly, I should say, and also they give a ton of money to anti-gay candidates. Okay.
Well, I did know. I mean, there's a really kind of interesting backstory about Urban Outfitters that I learned not too long ago. Do you know about this? There was a husband and wife team. Do you know about this?
I do not.
And they started, and I'm remembering this kind of hazily. They started Anthropology, which is a clothing store that that ladies who are stylish and in their 40s really enjoy, and I count myself in that number.
Mm-hmm.
What they started Urban Outfitters. Then they started Anthropology for people who had sort of aged out of Urban Outfitters, for stylish ladies like me who try on Urban Outfitters clothes and say, this is a little mutton dressed up as lamb. You go to Anthropology. And then they got divorced. And she's much more liberal than he is. And he is like very, he's very aligned with anti-abortion causes and much more conservative. And she's not, as I recall. And I think she owns a restaurant in Philadelphia.
Huh. Well, I violated the ban. And I went into Urban Outfitters. I was actually in Charleston, South Carolina, 2 weeks ago. And I went into an Urban Outfitters, and there sitting on the table, on the T-shirts table,
was a heifer.
Was a what?
It was a heifer.
A heifer. No. It wasn't. This is a Netta Ulvey appropriate story.
Okay.
So it would, of course, would not be a heifer.
Okay.
It was an NPR shirt.
Really?
So they,
for sale?
They sell NPR shirts.
They do?
And they were really cute. And maybe I'm breaking this on this show, It's So Gay, episode 126. But yeah, no, they sell NPR shirts, and they were actually really cute shirts. And I picked one up, and I started to go to the register. And then I remembered both that we're supposed to be boycotting and that shouldn't I be buying that maybe on NPR?
Wow. I have no idea. I am...
I should probably be supporting NPR directly. Oh, and that's right. I'm gay. I'm not supposed to be shopping here.
All I can say is I had no idea.
Okay.
Interesting. Thank
you. You're going to get on that. It's going to be a 3-minute piece. I don't think this is a 4-minute piece.
Well, you know, I don't think I'm not going to be reporting on myself, but wow, this is so interesting. I'm looking at pictures of the shirt.
It's a cute shirt.
Super cute.
Using the Marianne effect, we'll get you that shirt, as we write a letter. Super cute. Anyway, so that's my Urban Outfitter story.
Wow.
All right, you have now appeared on episode 126. Do you want to call the next episode you want to be on? I feel like you have this power on this show.
I don't know,
I'm not sure how it came about, but it's there now and we accept it.
You know, I like this power, and I'm going to use it gently.
Okay.
I'm going to use it so gently, in fact, that I am just going to wait benevolently in the wings like Gandalf.
Nice.
And then next time you're in need, just call me.
Awesome.
How's that?
You really are. I don't really love gushing over the guests. You are one of my favorite guests to have on the show.
Ken, thank you so much. You are one of my favorite hosts.
All right. All the best.
All right. Thanks, Ken. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
I'm just going to dance right now. It's critical to do. No, I haven't had no dope. Lift up the velvet rope. Mr. Dorman, stop teasing. Freezing out here. See, I got pins inside. It's my birthday tonight. And I'm not wearing trainers, not to mention knickers. It's futile to debate. With St. Peter out of the gate, made of protein, milkshake, and low carb intake.
All right, folks, welcome back. And you had to be under a rock somewhere if you did not hear that this past Friday, June 24th, New York became the 6th and most populous U.S. state to legalize marriage equality. Governor Cuomo signed the Marriage Equality Act just hours after the Senate passed it. So that is definitely good news. And we love covering good news on this program, particularly of these items in the media that you just can't miss. But we like to balance that out a little bit with perhaps some local happenings that you might not be hearing about, but you should know about the efforts of some of our brethren in other parts of the country who are working so hard to guarantee equality. So for this segment, we're going to turn over to Holland, Michigan, which, I kid you not, because I looked this up and my guests are going to tell me if I'm wrong, is the, quote, all-America city with a Dutch accent. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, I'm going to have you guys introduce yourselves, and then we're going to talk about what is going on in Holland, Michigan. Take it away.
Well, I'm Jake Sebastian. I'm just helping out with this campaign. We're called Until Love is Equal.
My name is Drew Stopples, and I'm on the Rapid Response team with Jake and Aaron on the Until Love is Equal campaign.
My name is Aaron Wilson, and I helped create Until Love is Equal along with Jake and Drew. And it'd be great, Jake, if you want to explain what happened in Holland and what we're doing.
Well, this all started a little over a week ago. The Holland City Council voted on an anti-discrimination measure that would include sexual orientation and gender identity as reasons why you could not discriminate for jobs and housing.
So let's stop right there. Did we have a sense of how this vote was going to go before the vote was voted?
You know, it really wasn't much of a news story at that point. And I think I don't think a lot of people really expected it to go through. And honestly, it ended up being closer. It was a 4-5 vote. So it was closer probably than a lot of people would expect it.
But so the expectations were that it would just be soundly defeated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The person that
did a lot better. This is a positive story is what I'm hearing.
The one thing that was encouraging was that the person that introduced it is associated with Art Prize, and he put the bill in, and so it seemed like there was a possibility that it would go 5-4 in favor, but that ended up not being so. He didn't vote that way, so.
All right. Okay, so then the vote happened, and it ended up being closer. Go team, but it was defeated 5-4.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the one thing that was encouraging initially was that Grand Rapids, which is where we're from, which is the closest big city to Holland, we've had that in our city council voted it in 94.
Okay.
So it's been around quite a while here, so Holland's definitely behind the curve on that. Once the vote happened, Aaron put together our group, which started out as a boycott of Holland, and he called it I'm Boycotting Holland, Michigan Until Love is Equal.
Okay.
It's kind of morphed a little bit. Now we've brought in the component of seeking out businesses that openly disagree with this vote, and then promoting them via our organization. So it's a boycott, but taking those dollars out of the businesses that don't stand up for equal rights and putting them into the businesses that do.
All right. Now, I don't want to get angry emails from any listeners in Holland, Michigan when I ask this next question.
You might.
This show is so gay at AOL.com. But what would someone be missing by boycotting Holland, Michigan?
Drew?
Tulips. I'm told there are tulips.
There's a lot of tulips.
I looked it up online.
There's a lot of tulips and wooden shoes. And
okay.
How can that not be gay? I mean,
exactly.
It is incredibly gay, Ken. To kind of
by a vote of 5-4, it's very gay.
Yes. I mean, you have the gay mecca of the Midwest, 10 miles south, Saugatuck, Michigan, a beautiful resort town that the gays flock to. But that said, what would people be missing from Holland? Quite honestly, there is a history there. There is a very, very conservative history that is not very open to what I would say outside opinions and outside viewpoints. If you're
okay.
Don't toe the line, Ken, you are viewed, it's very much just seen as you are viewed as outsiders. You are not very much welcome in this community. And obviously with this voting down of the discrimination ordinance, that sends up a big red flag to people that you're not going to be missing our dollars and cents. You're not going to be missing, you know, our tourism, our word of mouth, and you know, we'll take it elsewhere. So
they have a big windmill. So we're missing out on
that. You're missing a 200-foot-tall windmill or something, or 100-foot-tall windmill. That's about it.
I don't want to be the radio show guy who says, "Do they have dikes there?" Because that you just can't. Can you go there?
Well, the thing about Holland is
a couple.
It's part of West Michigan, which is it's a different communities like Muskegon and Grand Haven and Holland and Saugatuck and then Grand Rapids. That are all in close proximity to Lake Michigan. It's a really beautiful part of the state and really of the country. And we all have a pretty symbiotic relationship with each other as cities. And so this gets grouped into an overall bad message about West Michigan not being welcoming. And that's part of the reason that we're so involved as we are.
Because I was planning on bringing a huge group of people to West Michigan
Okay, I wasn't. But still, they should have passed this, is what we're trying to say. And their quotes, the quotes from some of these folks who voted against it, were unsurprisingly sad.
Yeah, and I mean, it's we have a really strong arts and design culture here. Another publication I work for sent a team out to NeoCon, which is like the big furniture design conference in Chicago every year. And you know, it's a lot of big Grand Rapids companies. Herman Miller is based here. Well, they're based in Zeeland, actually, just outside of Holland. Hayworth, Sparkeology, a lot of big design firms. So it's really, I think it hits us especially hard. And Herman Miller and Hayworth, for the record, do support same-sex benefits for their employees. So it's really, I think, a sharp conflict in that Grand Rapids is a very LGBT-friendly city. We have a large and very vocal population here. So for this to happen only 20 miles down the road is kind of a huge thing for us and should be a huge thing.
So what do we do? What do we do?
Aaron?
Well, this is a really pivotal moment where there are people in Holland that are willing and ready to start a ballot initiative, but time is not on our side, and collecting the signatures would be the first step. And so we're trying to solidify some alliances with people within Holland that are trying to do that, and we're hopeful that we can launch a signature collection phase and then get to the point where we can determine how best to go forward with it on the ballot in November.
How many signatures do we need?
We need around, Ken, we need around 1,330 signatures to have that work. That's about 4.5% of the population of Holland. Holland's a city of a little over 30,000. Our group, we are so mobilized, obviously, and we have a lot of talent around the table. We think that that would not be that difficult to pull off, that endeavor.
Although we have a week. It has to be in by July 8th, so we're pushing hard.
Yeah.
But if there is some sort of Holland 4th of July parade with people with wooden shoes and things.
Yes.
I would imagine there's some sort of gathering we can go to in the next week to get some signatures.
Well, Drew's going to be out there in wooden shoes walking around.
They'll be pink, Ken.
Pink
wooden shoes.
Well,
I've dyed them, yeah.
Drew, I assumed. You didn't even have to highlight that.
Yeah, I know. It's a given.
Yeah, but anyone who wants more information can visit us at untilloveisequal.com. We're going to have a downloadable copy of the petition so you can go out and collect signatures on your own. We're going to be posting times of groups that are going out there if you want to jump in. We have really cool t-shirts. One of the great design groups here in Grand Rapids, Plenty Initiative, pitched in and did some awesome design for us for nothing, since we're pretty broke. And so if you want to help out, buy a t-shirt, sign petitions, it's untilloveisequal.com.
I might even waive the guest fee for this interview.
How
generous I'm gonna. No, you guys can pull this off. I for some reason, am remarkably unconcerned that you're not going to get these signatures by next week. You will get these signatures by next week.
Yes, we
and
will.
And then the real work will begin. As an elected official in my town and one who is quite familiar with ballot initiatives, getting it on the ballot is one thing, and then we're going to have you back on the air, and we're going to work out how we're going to get people to actually turn out for this.
Yep, and that's the hope, and thank you so much for covering this, Ken. It really means a lot to us.
No, I mean, I think it's so important. Look, New York is great, New York, but none of us on the call right now, none of the four of us live in New York right this second, and we live in our own communities where we have to make a difference, and that you guys are stepping up to make that difference. And we want to get more people from Holland. That's going to be the key, right? Because none of you guys live there.
Absolutely. We need to, and we do have some support in Holland that we're working on solidifying right now, but yeah, it's important that we get the city of Holland behind this.
I feel 100% comfortable saying that there are people in Holland who are scared to speak up about this because it is a small community. Mm-hmm. And could not be more appreciative of the work that you guys are doing.
Yep, and let me just mention quickly too that
please,
there are a few businesses and a growing list of businesses that have come out. They put signs in their windows. They're listed on our website as being 100% behind this. So if you do visit Until Love Is Equal, if you live in Holland, you're visiting Holland, these are businesses that we support you shopping at. They support equal rights, and they're proud to say it. So Blue House Bistro, Globe Eyewear, and quite a few others. So. If you're in the area, check that out.
And I will absolutely put a link up on our homepage and draw some more attention to this, we hope.
Awesome. Thank you so much,
you.
Ken. We really appreciate it.
You guys keep doing it. And of course, we need updates. We're not leaving this where it is right now. There's
nope.
more work to be
Your
done.
Your email will explode.
I just want a picture of Drew in the pink, wouldn't you?
You got it. We'll do a tweet pic and we'll get that up on the landing page.
We'll make it
too.
Happen.
I mean, I already have the image in my head. Let's just see if it corresponds. Okay. Right. And on that note, you guys, keep fighting the fight and please, please keep us posted. You are doing great work.
Thanks so much, Ken.
All the best.
Yep. Thank you, Ken.
Bye-bye. Bye, guys.
And the jam-packed show continues. We're going to welcome yet another guest. Hey, other guest, are you there as well?
I'm here.
This is a good thing. Let me introduce you. Michael Holtz has been named Compete Magazine's Athlete of the Year, Mr. Gay USA 2011, and first runner-up, Mr. Gay World 2011. He qualified for the 2004 Olympic Trials and USA Nationals. He served as the Student Athletic Committee Conference President in the Atlantic 10 Conference. He is a fellow Fordham graduate. I just want to slip that in there for no reason. You got to put that in there. We're Rams. He swam the English Channel. It inspired him to launch his own athletic event production company, MKH2O, a business whose goal is to elevate the concept of a nationwide series of open water swim and athletic events across the country that directly benefit national LGBT organizations. He volunteers his time just all over the place, and I can only imagine he's calling in from a lap pool somewhere with goggles on the top of his head. Goggles on his head. Michael Holtz, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Hi, how are you doing?
How is that lap pool? Is it a heated lap pool today?
Well, actually, it wasn't. It was cold this morning. I mean, I'm actually in New York. Just finished up a very, very busy weekend and a very both emotionally and physically exhausting weekend as marriage was passed in New York, where I kind of started everything. I was working with Christine Quinn here in New York that started about 7 years ago, and had the amazing opportunity to march with the governor in the parade this year. So it was really great, and I attended the fundraiser in New York on Thursday with President Obama. So it was really just an amazing, amazing weekend with political leaders, friends, straight allies. It was just a really incredible weekend all around.
Look at you. Now, Christine Quinn's butterfly form, I've heard, is not good. I've heard it's not good.
I just told her to switch strokes.
Okay, because I heard her turn kick is pretty good, but the butterfly, it just needs some work. So it's something, look, there's work to be done, folks.
Always, there's always work to be done.
All right. Wow, what a weekend. Are you exhausted?
Not only just, like, physically running around, but emotionally it was just, you know, I lived in New York for about 6 years and was back and forth between here and London for 7 years. And mm-hmm. So you can only imagine, you know, this is where I came out. This is where my straight allied friends are. This is where I started my first ever LGBT swim for the LGBT community. This is where I started, you know, working with various political leaders and organizations. And so to come back for this weekend and have a tremendous win and, you know, have the support of not only, you know, all my gay friends, but my straight friends, it's just been an incredible, incredible weekend. So,
so much to talk about, Michael. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm always ready. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see in about 2 seconds. Now, this, of course, is the question that I'm getting from everyone, Michael. They're writing in. They want to know, what is Mr. Gay USA?
So it's actually a really unique competition. I mean, I would say that it's comparable to Miss USA. I know that it's a very European eccentric platform that's been established and developed over there.
Okay.
It really kind of hasn't taken the U.S. by storm yet. It's been around for about 5 years, and it really is, it's an international human rights campaign where Eric Butter, the founder, who's an Australian, really, he created the actually nonprofit organization that really brings together and ties together different countries and cultures and delegates that kind of serves every year as kind of a, not only a competition and a pageant, but more so than a pageant and a competition, it's really a week of like 20-hour days where you're interacting and kind of serving as like a fraternity, really, with a bunch of these different countries. And this year there was 28 of them. And it was just a really interesting opportunity where you're, you know, communicating and you're understanding and you're, you know, you're taking everything in about where different countries are in terms of LGBT rights and human rights, mm-hmm. and how progressive people are. And it's like, from all the way from gay marriage in 2000 was passed in the Netherlands to someone from India who their country told them not to come, and he came anyways. So not only a competition and a pageant, like I said, but it's an international human rights platform that really kind of brings together and unifies not only different people within our country, which ultimately serves as the winner from the U.S., but then goes on and represents our country, you know, not only from the LGBT community, but expresses and serves as a spokesperson, essentially, on this international panel and platform. And
was there a moment in the competition where you thought, I have this in the bag?
No, it actually wasn't.
Okay.
Because I've learned this. From my swimming career and from things, I always go in not expecting anything to happen. And to be honest, I even had a couple quote-unquote friends of mine who I approached, which their names will not be revealed, that, you know, I said, can you help me promote my brand and my vision and my site and my video, because a lot of it happened on social media.
Right.
And so, you know, these people are people who are in the public eye in the LGBT community. Like I said, I'm not going to say any names.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, the next day, I see their video up on the thing competing against me.
Oh.
So, you know, it really, when someone would do that, not only is that kind of what I think is not a characteristic of who would be represent our country as Mr. Gay World.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is typical of the gay community, but I don't think that it should be a characteristic of someone who is representative of a country in terms of developing, forwarding, advancing, and protecting the LGBT rights of the U.S. people, because that's kind of a very catty, like, kind of not supportive characteristic of somebody. But these people were also supposed to be my friends. So, you know, you kind of weave your way through these kinds of ups and downs of, you know, it, like you said, did you ever think you had it in the bag? And it's like, I didn't really ever set my expectations to that. So, you know, it was always just taking the competition day by day, step by step, just kind of being who I was is how I believed it should function.
Now, you've been doing a lot of public speaking lately, have you not?
Yeah, it's been actually really interesting, some of the different stuff that I've been doing, from, you know, strictly sports communities and communities of youth, and also showing up at a lot of the different pride events. But I just spoke at a very conservative aerospace technology firm where I spoke to a group of about 100 people. It was during June, so obviously it's Gay Pride Month, so they had the diversity speaker come in, so they called me up. And I came in, and it wasn't their affinity group. It was everybody. It was the straights, the gays, everybody was there.
Huh.
But the kicker was that all these people knew they were getting laid off in 2 weeks.
Oh.
The whole office was getting laid off. So not only did I have to come in and talk about diversity in sports and the corporate culture and equality and my fundraising and the things that I've done, but I had to give these people words of inspiration and encouragement that, like, this is the time to reinvent yourself.
Which, oh, my gosh.
I used to be an investment banker for 3 years on Wall Street before I got laid off, and I kind of have reinvented these passions of mine, which is in the sports and for the LGBT community. So it was it was very, very, very interesting. I really kind of captured the attention of some of these big macho conservative, like, straight dudes that were like, whoa, like, first of all, I was getting them to feel sorry about the fact that they bullied sports people back when they were in high school. And, you know, it was really kind of awesome, but kind of nervous in the beginning to really capture these people's attention. Because,
right. You
know, these people are getting laid off in like 3 weeks. So
I think they were hoping you would come in and say, listen, I'm hiring for an entourage. So interviews will be in ballroom C at 2 o'clock is what they were hoping for. Well, it begs the question whether it is in your rider somewhere or people are in the contracts people are giving to you, that is there a minimum amount of time that you need to have your shirt off? I'm just thinking they're saying to you, now you know that you can't have a shirt on for this event, right? And you say, no, of course not.
Yeah. Well, I actually came in and the guy who, the HR guy who hired it, he goes, whoa. You are wearing way too many clothes. And I was like, I didn't even recognize you when you, I didn't know even though you were the speaker. And I was like, I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing.
Yeah. So the key to getting a new job, I know you guys are getting laid off, but take off your shirts. No, not you, sir. Not you, sir. But everybody else. Everybody else, why don't you work on that? Oh, that's so funny. Well, now, one of your passions, one of your many, many passions is working with youth and talking about athletics and youth. And we've been talking a lot on the show in the past couple months. There have been, unfortunately, a whole slew of reports that have come out just with the unhealthy behaviors, that there's such a high level of unhealthy behaviors with LGBT youth, that it's so much more disproportionately higher in the LGBT youth community and their unhealthy behaviors as compared to their straight counterparts. What can we do to get our LGBT youth to be more healthy?
Well, I think that there's a couple ways to answer this question. I could interpret this question as two things, is unhealthy being the bullying side of things and unhealthy being, like, getting active and following healthy practices in terms of physical fitness and that kind of thing. And I think that, first of all, we're going through a very exciting time in the sports community because there will be no piece of legislation that tells someone that's against the law to bully somebody that's in their sport, whether you're playing in the NFL or you're playing high school kickball.
Right.
And our country and society in the U.S. is so, I think it is very much identified with the sports community and the culture of sports in the U.S., namely your macho football, basketball, baseball. And when you're seeing these straight allies peeling off one by one, supporting and advocating the rights of equality and LGBT people, that they are in sports and they are great at sports, I think that it's really breaking down a social barrier that gives children the idea that it's okay, because you see these public figures that I feel like youth in America identify themselves so much with, even more than your celebrities that are, you know, all in the movie pictures and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a really interesting time because these straight allied athletes are really becoming public figures to people that are really changing the hearts and minds and perceptions of the way that not only the youth but other people look at the LGBT community. In terms of fitness and kind of getting out there and living better and healthy lifestyles, I think, you know, the only way that this is going to really take like wildfire is people who are willing to talk about it and speak about it, and the stories and the personal experiences and how things affect people, because I think that's really how the hearts and minds are changed of not only the youth, but, you know, the youth, I mean, I'm sure you did and I did, is that we all look up to somebody when we're younger. So making sure that those stories and those positive influential figures are becoming visible to the public, I think it's completely so important.
Now, you've also had the opportunity to do a ton of volunteering lately, and you can't use this past weekend as an example. Tell us just one of the most fun volunteering experiences you've had lately. This weekend doesn't count.
This weekend does not count.
It sure as heck counts. You just can't use it as an example.
Wow. You know, I wouldn't think that this is, like, that hard of a question, but I just think I've been running around, like, crazy.
Yeah.
But where was I last?
You're living the life, man.
Well, okay, I'll tell you. I went down to Miami Gay Pride, which is only the third year that they've ever had it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat on a panel with Billy Bean, and my mom's from Naples. And this was the first opportunity that I was able to sit in what was closest to my hometown in Naples, Florida, and speak to a community that I kind of grew up in. And now being this person or individual that I am, it was really interesting to interact with this group of people. And, you know, I got up and, you know, I was talking with Billy and I was talking with Alfonso, who was one of the leads there. And this girl raises her hand and she goes, it was during the Q&A, and she goes, I don't want to ask a question. I want to make a statement. And I go, oh, Jesus.
Oh, boy.
I go, what is going to happen? My mom's here, the whole nine yards. She stands up and she goes, Michael, I just want to let you know that I have been following you for the past 2 years, and you've given me the strength and encouragement not only to come out to my family, but to pick up the softball bat again.
Yay.
And so, yeah, so, like, talking to, and she was young, too. So the ability to get out and do direct outreach with some of these youth organizations, especially ones that were close to where I grew up, has been something that's been really cool because, you know, these are just the things that when you're working in the field that you're working in, you hear about. But it's great to hear those things because you know there's other things going out to Joe Schmo from Kansas City or Bobby Billy from, you know, Podunk, Alabama.
Right.
So, you know, that's where these stories really kind of matter and take home to heart. Not in New York, not in L.A., not in Miami, not in San Francisco, but...
Look how you inspired a lesbian to pick up a softball bat.
I know, right? He was going to give it to me for something. I don't know.
Well, we do, sir, have to talk about your musical selections for today. Are you ready to talk about your music? So I'm only going to ask you. Yeah, I'm only going to ask you a couple of these, but this is the part of the show, Michael, where you will tell our listening audience what some of these songs say about Michael Holtz. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll start with, and this is our first, we haven't played this yet, even though, gosh, you can't escape it on the radio. What does Lady Gaga's Edge of Glory say about Michael Holtz?
Well, I think the Edge of Glory is something that is actually, I think it's a very interpretive, how I'm going to say this, is that it runs very close to home to me in terms of sports and receiving kind of the glory and working hard at something. And, you know, I just really like what it says in terms of being a kind of anthem for what would be like the gay games or the out games or something like that, or even the LGBT pride house in the Olympic games. I think it really comes full circle in working hard for something and being almost there. And,
there you go. That's a good one. All right, I'm only going to make you do one more, and this is going to be depth. I feel this is going to be just supreme Jesuit education depth coming up in about 2 seconds. What does Madonna's Celebration say about Michael Holtz?
You know, that's funny that you bring up the whole Jesuit thing.
as a gay Jew who got through his PhD at Fordham, trust me, it was an experience.
Well, you know, the Jesuit tradition is all about, like, learning through experience, and I think that the college experience that I went through was amazing because I grew up in a very strict Catholic family, and going through the Jesuit tradition is, for me, was a very liberal form of Catholicism, and I was involved in a swim team that had 4 gay guys on it. The president of my school came in when I was a freshman as well, so we were very, very close, and he was everybody was kind of accepting of the LGBT community, but the celebration part comes after kind of graduating this chapter of my life that really proved to be something that you would think wouldn't be a support mechanism in choosing the life that the LGBT community kind of has. You think that it would kind of be 4 years of not having a celebration, but in essence, I think it was more of the reason to celebrate, more of the reason to overcome and understand that you've changed the hearts and minds through walking this 4-year journey to not only a university and friends and family, but also a tradition that kind of battles the way that we are living our life today.
Right.
So I think it's you know, you can look at it in a negative way, but I kind of look at it more as in a celebratory way.
Awesome. Now, where can folks go to learn more about all the cool things that you're doing?
I have a fan page and a business page. Michael Holtz is the fan page. You can find me on there. And then NKH2O has also a lot of the different related events that I'm producing. And then I have my own personal page, but that's kind of getting a little full.
That's
my
fine.
My personal page and the fan page are the exact same thing.
Okay.
So
someone shouldn't think, oh, gosh, I just don't have the access if I'm on the fan page, because they're getting the same content. They're getting the same Michael Holtz.
You'll get the same access anywhere.
All right. Well, I am looking forward to the Holtz-Quinn relay. I think that's coming up soon.
Yes.
And you, sir, keep doing what you're doing, because you're definitely talking about some stuff that's really important, and we want to get more people to listen. So thank you so much for what you're doing on behalf of the community, and keep on going.
Thank you so much.
All right. All the best, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
And that's it for another edition of This Show Is So Gay. As always, drop us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn about what's going on and to subscribe to our iTunes podcasting just by clicking there. There's a link all over the place on thisshowissogay.com. And please, please, please stroll on over to the Facebook. Type in This Show Is So Gay. Like us. We like you. Get out there, folks. Go do some amazing, amazing things. My gosh, we got people who are working nationally. We got people who are working locally. We got people who are working on themselves. Whatever it is that you choose to do, use your voice, make a difference, and remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
You look familiar. You wanna dance?